Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, I know the yo has been sad lately, yeah. But as much as I have stated my position, I feel strongly in my position. We are still on September 24th. With the Phillies fighting for a playoff spot, so, you know, that's something, Jack. Are they going on a run? Does the run start now, Jack? One straight?
Never doubted September Phillies. September Phillies have always been great. They've always been great, and they've never collapsed or looked lifeless.
It's their month. Yeah. It's their month.
Yeah, the Philly, yeah. Some say the Phillies own September. So, yeah, honestly. I have been running every single morning around the city of Philadelphia because honestly, I need to clear my head a little bit. You know, the brain was getting a little foggy. I figured as I'm getting older, you know, I need to make sure I'm in good shape. So I'm around for a long time to do this podcast and solely this podcast. So I started taking up running, and it's early morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And I hate running.
You.
I know.
That's awful.
Loathe running, but I'm starting to see things more clear. And in my time of running around this city, and, you know, I'm running by Franklin Field, I'm like, you know, this is Philadelphia. I am Philadelphia.
You are Philadelphia.
And I just can't help but think the run is coming. And it's like that crisp, you know, when I get out at the, you know, 6:45 in the morning, and I'm thinking about how James is still sleeping and not working as hard as I am.
Yes, because I'm sure. Let's go with that.
When James is fast asleep and not working as hard as I am, and I am out running around South Street and down by the Schuylkill, and it's that crisp October weather, and it's just, this is playoff weather. And for this team to still be in it, I know it's 60 games. I know there's 18 teams make the playoffs, but they're still alive. They're still alive, and it's crisp fall air. I can't help but think about what it would be like with rally towels and fans, and I get sad thinking about Citizens Bank Park, and I also get sad running around the city thinking the city has a bullpen problem. But It feels like playoff weather outside. The feeling of playoff weather. I also heard some old Phillies cuts today. I listened to the Rollins walk off of Broxton. I listened to Rollins triple in 07. That's all I needed. That's all I needed to be all the way back in on this team. So, yesterday was great. Good start. I mean, big game F came through like he always does.
Cy Eflin. Yep. Thank God for that guy.
Big game F came through per usual. And, Yeah. It's three games. Me and you, if it came down to it, we would rather Matt Klentak not be here than make the playoffs. All things considered, if having Matt Klentak fired meant no playoffs, we would both rather have Matt Klentak fired. But they are one freaking weekend away from returning to playoff baseball, and that has me excited.
And look, that's very fair. And like I said, in spite of all of it, I can't watch them play and actually feel myself rooting against them. So it's somewhat hollow words in a grand sense. Like, I'm going to watch a play of the Rays this weekend, and I'm going to be rooting for them to win, even though I don't want Klentak here, and whatever it takes to get him gone, I am in support of. But look, I mean, again, like I said, it's September 24th, and the Phillies have a chance at a playoff spot. However absurd this 60 game thing is.
Well, it's definitely not a sham, right?
And it's pretty sham-like, Jack. Shammy. But for real, anyone in the world, and I was okay with it for this year, and so were you, but anyone who supports 8 playoff teams in each division, 8 in each league, is a moron. And just look at this Phillies team. Like, I'm excited that they can make the playoffs, but they are the furthest thing from a playoff baseball team right now or deserving of the playoffs. It's great that they have a chance, but what a sham the 8 teams is, Jack.
Oh,
like,
it's awful.
Of all the things this year, at the end of the year, you know, all the stuff we hated, or now you love the runner on second base. I'm all in on the 7-inning doubleheaders. Like, the stuff we came in hating, like, I've turned at least to a certain point on. I hate this the most. The 8 playoff teams in each league is my least favorite thing from baseball in 2020.
Yeah, and it looks like it's not going anywhere, which
I know
is horrible. It's honestly, like, it's genuinely bad for the sport.
It hurts the integrity of the sport. It really does.
And it waters down 162, and it makes the regular season not matter. And sure, more teams are theoretically going to be in it, but like, the whole beauty of baseball is the journey. It's the 162, and you're just going to have more teams at the end just like sitting players for weeks on end because they're up by so much. Like, do you know that the Dodgers, if the winning percentage is played out, the Dodgers would be 33 games better than the Phillies. Like they would be 33
Dude,
games better than the
amazing.
Phillies.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing nugget. Well done by you.
They would be 33 games better than the Phillies by their pace of play. Like, I understand sports is a business, and I get that these guys that make money, and more playoff teams means more playoff revenue for these owners, and everyone wants to make more money. I hate how much sports have come down to just making more money, and there's no longer just rewarding greatness. You know, there's no longer just you know, teams that deserve to be there being there. And it's just all like, why even have a regular season anymore? Like, why even have a regular season anymore? Like, you just want half the league in, more than half the league in anyway. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. With that being said, take 2 or 3 this weekend, and we're in.
And we get to benefit
from
it.
Yeah. And we get
just to put a bow on it, it is infuriating. You're exactly right. It ruins the whole achievement. Like, making the playoffs doesn't even feel – again, this Phillies team, a perfect example, like, does, quote-unquote, making the playoffs – it'd be fun. We want to watch playoff baseball. But it doesn't feel like an achievement, right? Like, in the same way that making it in 08, 07 through 11 did. You know, that felt like a real achievement each year that they got there. This – does not. But the other part too that I understand is, why does it have to be 8 in each league? We went from 5 to 8. Can't we try, I don't know, 6? Like, why does it have to go all the way to 8? Like, that's crazy town.
I'm trying to think, does it make it even? Was that why? I mean, isn't the NFL doing 7 this year? I guess because
7. So give a bye or whatever.
Yeah, but byes in baseball are bad for.
But 6 you could do, then just there's no it's 6 is perfect. You have 3 division winners, 3 wild cards. The wild cards play division winners. Oh, but then you only have 3 teams after that.
Yeah. Well, 3 wild cards feels like a lot.
Yeah. No. I mean, so does 8 teams feels like a lot.
Gotcha.
I mean, this is so stupid. Anyway, let's talk about the weekend, because somehow.
Come on, baby.
Somehow at 28-29, the Philadelphia Phillies are it's pretty crazy, Jack. Like, in terms of, it is, you know, like the Dodgers and the Braves and the Cubs and the teams that have known they're going to be in for a while, for the most part, whether they clinch or not. It's, I'm sure, far less interesting September for those teams than a normal year. But for the other 6 teams separated by a game, Jack, you know, of course the Padres are locked in. There are 6 teams that are separated by a game, and 4 of them get in and 2 are out. It is going to be a wild weekend, and obviously stuff can happen today. Have you checked the Giants score? I haven't checked the Giants score yet. I know that's happening as we speak right now. But, you know, I mean, like, so the Giants, the Marlins, the Reds, the Brewers, the Cardinals, all of them are in it. Now, the Cardinals and Brewers play each other, which is huge, but I want to get to some of, like, the things to watch with that stuff this weekend with the other teams and some of the tiebreaker scenarios.
Well, and but San Fran is down 4-3 in the seventh.
Ooh, okay. Maybe we'll get some live reactions on that one. Go Rockies. We're all Rockies fans right now. But see, that's what I'm saying. In the moment, I just can't help it.
I know. I know. You're trying to put on this facade. I hate it.
I hate it. All right. The Rays. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, the Rays have nothing to play for. You know who else didn't have anything to play for? The freaking Washington Nationals, who just took 3 of 4 from the Phillies. Do you put any stock in the whole the Rays don't have anything to play for thing?
No, because I've seen the Rays' depth, and it's still really freaking good. I mean, they're starting Charlie Morton on Friday, you know? Like, they still have an elite bullpen, and the Rays are smart.
The 98ers?
Yeah. The Rays are smart enough to know that you can't just sit guys heading into it. Like, if they just completely sit their bullpen or all their hitters for an entire weekend, they're not going to be able to play until next Thursday. Is that when the AL playoffs start?
Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah, I believe you're right.
Like, they're not. That would be dumb to sit those guys for that long. Like, you got to keep guys sharp. So no, I mean, the Rays, even at 80%, are still probably comparable to the Phillies. I mean, they have the most wins in baseball this year, or the Dodgers do?
I think they're tied, actually. I think they both have 37, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and what are the payrolls?
Yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah. Well, and that's why the official, the most official position of the High Hopes podcast is give Eric Neander a blank check and get his ass up here.
That is our number one position right now.
Yeah. There's nothing. Like, I've been thinking a lot about Eric Neander and what I would do if he got here. And, like, I might streak down Broad Street. For as excited as we all were for the World Series in 2008, this might be more.
I would look at whatever the Dodgers gave Andrew Friedman, and I'd double it.
Whatever
I'd give him $50 million. I'd be like, hey, here's $50 million right now. Come here. Let's go. Like, whatever it takes. Like, what? It's nothing to John Middleton. And there's no salary cap. There's no luxury tax to be scared of. Like, this is the ultimate no-brainer.
Blank check. The official position of the High Hopes podcast. Blank check.
Blank check. All right. This weekend, though.
Yes.
What did it, like, all right. So I think the biggest issue with the Phillies right now, at least, is a team outside of the bullpen, which, if we're going to be excited about this weekend, we can't talk about the bullpen. It is what it is. We all know. We all know the deal. Other than, of course, that Connor Brogdon is, as you said, the new Ryan Madsen.
Madsen 2.0. I mean, Madsen. Now, I don't want to draw this comparison because we'd be putting a lot of pressure on the young kid. But I mean, Mad Dog was throwing 98 in the World Series down in Tampa Bay.
Whoa, buddy!
With a hammer changeup.
Oh my God.
Wow. Connor Brogdon, next Ryan Madsen. Yeah.
Look, my question to you is, is outside the bullpen, it's the injuries. Like, Hoskins, not going to be back. Not a surprise, but a massive loss in that lineup. You know, Howard and Arrieta means we're seeing Vince Velasquez pitching game one tomorrow against the Rays.
Not bad.
Do you think this team can, do you think they can overcome these injuries?
I mean, for a weekend, yeah. I mean, I mean, yeah, sure. It's baseball. I mean, if it's 162, yeah, it's a disaster. I mean, honestly, I'd rather have Velasquez out there than Arrieta right now. So
I would too, actually. Last couple starts, Vinny's been all right.
Yeah, we're gonna bully Vince Velasquez into having a good start, being like, Vince is gonna lose to Charlie Morton. I think everyone who listens to this podcast and watches the Phillies every single night should just tell themselves and everyone they know, we're losing the game Friday.
We're losing the game.
100% losing the game. There's no way the Phillies win.
It's Charlie Morton versus Vince Velasquez.
The Phillies don't win that matchup 10 times out of 10. I mean, it would be nice if
the way they're going to lose it. Vinny's going to show up, and it's going to be like 2-1 Phillies through 7, and then,
Does that usually not end well for the Phillies? you know they haven't won one game this year where they scored 2 runs or less?
Yeah, I did know that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, their record with 3 or less or whatever it is like
also bad.
Unbelievable over the last 2 years. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I would appreciate if Charlie Morton could make up for tearing his hamstring and ruining our rebuild by giving us one.
Or not signing with us when he clearly should have, instead of signing with the friggin' Rays for 2 years, $30 million. What a deal. Are you serious? We would have given that to you, probably.
Maybe.
I would. If I were in charge, I would have given it to you. We talked about it on this podcast. We said, sign Charlie Morton. Go get that dude from here, kind of. Go get him.
Well, wife's from here. Wanted him to come back. Yeah. Yeah, that felt like the lockiest of all locks.
That was how Wheeler happened. It's like that it is kind of funny that it was the right idea, wrong guy.
Well, with Morton?
Well, I mean, with his wife from the area and wanting to come back.
I see what you're saying now. But Charlie Morton tearing his hamstring off the bone when he was clearly about to break out, and Klentak saw that. Never doubted Klentak. If he could
now
just...
that was so...
If he could just give us one, like they paid you, I don't know, wasn't it like $9 million for three starts?
I mean, it ended up being.
Yeah, just give that money right back. Give us one start. I mean, Charlie, you're a great Philly. Just give us one on Friday night.
I know, but how many runs does he have to give us for it to feel safe? A lot.
I mean, were you safe at 12-1 last night?
It turned out 13-0 didn't feel so safe that time.
No, they're fine. They're fine. The bullpen's fine when they have a 10-run lead.
You're right. The evidence says they are.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, why don't you look up the stats on that one, nerd?
Well, the ERA is still horrible, but in terms of not losing the game, pretty good.
Hey, what matters? A win or a loss?
It's true. Held the lead.
Yeah, just like Pivetta did against the Mets or whatever the game
was. Is there anything less surprising than 5 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 earned for Pivetta?
Never a doubt.
It's ever happened.
Brandon Workman and Heath Embry, literally, Jack.
I'm not kidding. In terms, like, Brandon Workman and Heath Embry are the worst midseason combo that has ever been traded to Philadelphia. Like, it's unbelievable how bad both those guys have been. It's hard to fathom that both those guys could be as bad as they've been when you traded Pivetta and Seabold for him. It's unbelievable.
I thought I could never hate a reliever more than I hated Jack Qualls.
Yeah.
And these guys are right up there.
I would put it ahead.
No,
I hate both of them so much.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
the only good thing Heath Embry's done is going on the IL. That's it.
And I'm surprised it wasn't with a strained neck.
That's a good one.
I can't wait until there's fans back in the ballpark. And
it would have been so much booing this year. Oh,
right. Right. But what I can't wait for is when there's fans back in the ballpark and Heath Embry and Brandon Workman show up on whatever team they're on next year, and I get to be in left field and just ruin their day during batting practice or in the bullpen. I get kicked out of the bullpen once a year. I give myself once a year where I get kicked out of the bullpen area. It will be used on Brandon Workman or Heath Embry. That is my only goal of next season. The Phillies can make the playoffs. Great. My goal is to get kicked out of the bullpen for just destroying Brandon Workman and Heath Embry.
Jack, you're making a gigantic leap assuming that either of these will be major league pitchers next year.
I mean, well, Heath Embry has one more year in his deal. So
I know he does.
Yeah, he sure does. Don't forget that. When you're putting your head down on your pillow tonight, just remember you have one more year of Heath Embry.
Pay him to go away, Jack.
Nope.
Pay him to go away.
Nope.
Oh, my God. It is unbelievable. It is. Honestly, Klentak should be fired just for that trade alone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone saw what Pivetta did. I hope everyone feels bad for all the tweets that have been at me. I get tweeted about Nick Pivetta
I'm sure everyone feels terrible, Jack.
Yeah, they should. Because if anyone saw what we did. Now, he was actually... He looked... I watched the whole start, obviously.
No, get out of here.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. He looked pretty good. His fastball was like 93, which I thought was weird.
That's weird.
But it was jumping on hitters, and I think he added a little mechanical tweak. Slider looked way better. Curveball, whatever, looked good. And then changeup. But, yeah, I mean, it's something to build off of. Not like the Phillies shut down the Orioles.
No, they didn't, Jack. No, they didn't.
Yeah,
lost correct. All three, if I remember correctly.
Was one of them on a pop-up that they couldn't catch?
Can you
catch on the pitching mound?
Jack. How am I supposed to remember such things? So many of those losses. I mean, we haven't talked since the National Series, but like that Workman loss in the, I mean, it was so predictable, yeah. But like to lose the second game of the doubleheader that day, that way was just like the biggest F you on the 2020 season. It was like, ha ha.
To a guy who had not hit a homer before, like in the
guy who's a career minor leaguer. Well, like this guy's like 30 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah, well, and the good thing is the game wasn't started by a 32-year-old career minor leaguer either.
I legitimately, and you and I, we talk about a lot of guys. We watch a lot of guys. We watch the MLB package. We play in deep fantasy leagues. I know a lot of players. Yadiel Hernandez, no idea who he is. I've never heard his name. I've never seen his name. I've never heard of that guy before in my life until he had a freaking walk-off homer against us.
Yeah. Or the guy who started.
That is his name, right? Yadiel Hernandez?
I think so.
I think it is. I know Yadiel's right. I think it was Hernandez.
Yeah, I just turned the TV off. Like, I saw it going out, and I was like, oh, I'm just done. I'm not watching this anymore. Yeah, and, like, the guy who started the game for them, no idea who that was. And, like, Andrew, like, the Voth guy, he sucks. Anibal Sanchez sucks, and they made him look
And they both had ERAs over 7.
I know. But... they won last night. Now the thing about game one was so frustrating. They didn't show up.
I mean, it was like the most lifeless effort we've seen from them for in a game that was like must win series. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. It's all right. They're still alive.
It's not like those games cost them the tiebreaker with the Reds or anything. Oh wait, they did. Never mind. Sorry, just forgot. No biggie.
All you have to do is. Probably take 2 or 3 this weekend.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about some of these teams that they're going up against here quickly. Johnny Heller had a good piece on Phillies Nation with all the tiebreaker scenarios. The Reds and the Marlins both own the tiebreaker over the Phillies no matter what. We know that no matter how this weekend plays out. Obviously, the Marlins' head-to-head record will beat them in the division, so the Phillies are really like a game behind them instead of a half game. The Phillies own the tiebreaker of the Giants no matter what happens. And this is interesting. The Cardinals have to win 2 of 5 against the Brewers to gain the tiebreaker over the Phillies, and the Brewers have to take 4 of 5 to win it over the Cardinals. So it looks like most likely the Phillies will have the tiebreaker on two teams. Most likely the Cardinals, Reds, and Marlins will own the tiebreaker over the Phillies, but the Phillies will have the tiebreaker over the Giants and Brewers. Does that make you feel better? Worse? Where you at?
Honestly, like, I'm a big baseball fan. I never can pay attention to that stuff.
This stuff doesn't matter. They usually play game 163. That's the problem.
Right,
there is no tiebreaker. That's why it's weird. All this stuff is weird because, like, I didn't even think about it until we got close. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're not going to play an extra game. Like, how does this all play out? And it does matter. The Phillies could lose the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Like, that's how close this whole thing is.
That feels about right. I'm
Jack.
What?
That feels right. The Phillies missing the playoffs on a tiebreaker feels so right. You're right. Go ahead.
Just more pain. Just add as much pain
to
this.
It's like the perfect end of the season.
It is
the perfect way for this season to end.
Honestly, like, I'm just so focused on making up the half game against the Marlins. Like, that's where my head's at. You know, the Marlins, like, for me, can you just show me this weekend that you can kind of step your game up a little bit? What was so frustrating about the freaking Nationals series, the first 3 games, was, like, they just looked like they didn't want to be there. And I know that's what happens when you lose games and it always looks like you look lifeless, but they really look dead. And
especially when you have something to play for and your opponent doesn't.
Right. And that's why, like, I just want them to, they might miss the playoffs, but show me they have the right guys. That's what I want to know. Like, do you have the right guys here? Because it's really been 3 straight Septembers of lackluster baseball. I mean, you had the 2 massive collapses. I mean, the Colorado series in 2018 was still the worst series of all time. The National Series last year, where they lost 5 straight, was equally as bad.
Oh, that was bad.
The first 3 games of this series against the Nationals was very frustrating. They came back last night, got a big win, which is great. They might miss the playoffs. They messing up those first 3 games of the Nationals might cost them the playoff run. I just want to see them look like they give a crap, and I want to see guys step up. I want to see who I can trust going forward, because they change managers. Gabe clearly was not the huge problem in September last year.
Nope.
It might be the guys. It might be the guys on this team. They might not know how to win. They might not know how to win. So I want to see them be able to come out with some fire and just look like they give a crap. Because that's what was the most frustrating of the first three games against the Nationals was it was like, do you guys even want to make the playoffs? Or are we just going through the motions to end out a season here? Like, if you just play decently well, you make the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm focused on half game behind the Marlins. If the Marlins lose tonight, they're going to be dead even heading into this weekend. The Marlins have the Yankees. We have the Rays. The Yankees have something to play for. The Rays technically do not, but we know that.
Well, the Yankees kind of have something to play for, just the team they would face. Like, they're not winning the division no matter what. And they're already a playoff team.
Right. But they have more to play for than the Rays.
I guess
my point.
Well, I mean, it depends on how important batting in the bottom of the inning is in the second and third round of the playoffs, right, for the Rays?
Yeah.
Whether if they think that that's a legitimate market, a statistical advantage that they can gain from being the quote-unquote home team in a neutral site, then they might have more interest, but they're the only team in baseball who even consider looking into the numbers on such things.
Well, I mean,
which are skewed anyway because they're at home anyway. There aren't enough neutral site games to really get a real feel for.
The Rays are so cool. I still, it was like a month ago, they played an all-lefty lineup for the first time in baseball history.
That's so cool, man.
Imagine having that much depth.
I love them.
Imagine having that much depth.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, dude, they lost like what? Like, I think they had like 9 or 10 pitchers on the IL at one point, bullpen guys, and their bullpen just keeps chugging along and being awesome. I mean, they just cycle guys up. Wander Franco hasn't even seen the field this year, and young and all that, not expecting him to. But I mean, they have the best prospect in baseball, just hanging out, ready to go at some point. I mean, they are amazing. They are the model organization as far as, and they haven't even won a World Series, obviously, but just in terms of how to go about your organizational practices in terms of drafting, developing, scouting, what you pay people, what all this type of stuff. I mean, they're the top of the class, you know?
Blank check.
Yes, blank check. Blank check.
Blank
all right.
check.
All right, so unfortunately, only of these teams that are facing each other are the Cardinals and Brewers. That makes it a little more, kind of pick one and root for them, I would say.
Well, the Brewers have Corbin Burns tonight, so I might have to chalk that one up as a win.
For the Brewers, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's nasty.
Have you seen Corbin Burns?
Yeah, he's nasty. Again, either way, the point is one of those two teams is definitely making it.
Yeah.
So, root against the other, I would say. Just pick one. But outside of that, the problem with the Marlins, obviously, is that regardless of what happens tonight, you want them to lose. Obviously, you're tied with them, but you're not really tied with them. They still are. You still have to beat the Marlins by a game. That is frustrating. That means that you've got to play a little better. One out of three ain't going to get it done in terms of getting that spot for sure. Like, no way. So
I know we say it a lot, James. We say it a lot. But this time we really mean it. 2 or 3.
That's the thing. Honestly, they'll make the playoffs if they win 2 or 3. I legitimately believe that. Like, I think that there are enough variables with these other teams, especially with, look, the Giants are still down right now in the seventh, with the Marlins facing the Yankees. I think there's enough variables in there where if they win 2 or 3, they'll get in. They still might not. That's the craziest thing, is they could still not get in if they win 2 or 3. But I think if they win 2 or 3, they're in.
All right. I will trust your math on that one. All I do
sit
there and watch.
Again, they might not. They're not a playoff team right now as we're speaking, but they're a half game back, and I think 2 or 3 will get there. I think they're enough. Again, it's 6 teams for 4 spots,
Yep. Showtime.
Well, to your point, though, I agree with what you said. I think ultimately, whether or not they make the playoffs or whatever, like, those first 3 games of the National Series, like, was the low point of the season for me.
Yeah.
And you could hear it. You could hear it going into it the whole time. Like, when you and I talked, like, that's when I really was strongly saying, I'm out on them. I don't want to make, but I was like after already saying that, it hammered it home for me. Cause it just, like, in the biggest series of the season, no question, they didn't show up. They didn't look like they had any life at all, any fight, until the end of that second game, obviously. And they fought back in that one. And then that, they lost, but it carried over to the next day and they fought. I want to see him fight, man. I want to see him come out, and I want them to be like, all right, there are 3 games between us and the playoffs. Let's play like it. You know, and if you get beat, you get beat. But don't get beat because you don't show up. Like, that's what I need to see. I'm so with you on that, Jack.
Yeah, and honestly, the first couple of games of the National Series, I was just – it was the most disappointed I had been in Joe Girardi. And it had nothing to do with the moves. It had nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's like, this is what they paid you to do. This is why Gabe Kapler is not here. They paid you to get this team ready to win these games. And I know they're banged up, and I understand that. But the Nationals suck. Like, The Nationals suck.
Again, Austin Voth and Anibal Sanchez. There's no excuse for that. Like, whatever you want to say about, you know, Aaron Nola needed to show up, and he didn't. And granted, his defense did not help him.
Not at
like,
all.
Like, let's be real, it was a horrendous – and Jay Bruce is just not a first baseman, very clearly.
Yeah.
But for this offense, which, again, no Hoskins, I get it, and they're banged up, and Harper's battling the back and all that stuff. But, like, to not show up against those two guys who came in, who are two guys who came in with over 70 ERAs, and also are two guys you know. You've seen these guys. This isn't like, oh, he's got a weird delivery. I've never seen him before. It was just funky, and I couldn't hit him, like, or it was a weird day or whatever. You know what these guys do. Like, you can't – like, that is lifelessness. That is not grinding at bats. That is not – coming in with a plan and approach, all that type of stuff. Like, it was very disappointing.
Yeah, it was awful. It was straight up just awful. It was nice that Willis Reed Harper came through last night. just in time.
That is awesome.
Back's,
well done.
Back's fine when he's hitting two dingers in a game.
Buddy, I love that. Your turning on Bryce has been my favorite plot of 2020.
It's not that pulling himself from the game after striking out the bases loaded did not sit well with me. It just did not.
We know.
Sit well with me at all. So, it's nice that he showed up last night. I would have liked him to show up the two games before that, but I guess the back was acting up. But the back was fine last night. So it's good to see. And all jokes aside, like, need him this weekend. Like, this is
the biggest of ways.
This is a JT and Bryce, it's showtime series. I mean,
and even more Bryce. I mean, I think JT's legit banged up, it seems, with that.
And, like, dude,
you can see it when he hustled that out.
Yeah.
You know,
and let's talk about that for a second. This, they're going to legitimately let this guy hit free agency when he is three games away from free agency. He's hurt. He still wants to come play for this team and help them make the playoffs. A team that took him to arbitration, a team that did not want to pay him after the pandemic. Like, they're going to let that dude walk. That's the guy they're going to let walk. They're letting that dude hit free agency, a guy who actually gives a crap. And they're like, he is 3 days away from getting once free agency starts, but three games away from getting a huge payday, like a huge payday. And if he gets hurt again, like, it's only jeopardizing the future of
that
contract.
Yeah, it's certainly not helping his chances
right.
to get more money. Yeah.
Right. Right. This guy doesn't have to play right now. Like, legitimately, you could say, I'm hurt. I don't want to play for the rest of the season.
I would say most people would in the situation with how the team has played, whatever. I would say more players than not at least would. Jack, I think it's a great point. What a gamer. I mean, that's the kind of guy you want to be in your foxhole. It's the kind of guy we were just talking about. Like, you want those guys to be on your team in important games.
Well, and imagine what his teammates are saying. Like, dude, JT's getting out there. We see what he's going through. We see the treatment he's getting. And he's going out there. What's my excuse? You know, like, and they've subjected him to catching this bullpen. So, you factor all that in, and it's like, that's the guy that you're just gonna let go, and it's gonna be fine. That's the guy. We're just gonna let him hit free agency. We're not gonna try to lock him up. You know, well, obviously they tried to lock him up, but once the pandemic hit and they lost $100 million, all of a sudden he can't pay our players. Like, whatever.
Fraud Middleton for that one.
Whatever.
And Klintak too. They both deserve. But Fraud Middleton to not. And did you see the Jason Stark stat that he put out today or whatever, that in the history of baseball, since free agency began, no player has been taken to arbitration in the last year of his deal, lost arbitration, and stayed with that team. So that is – you're fighting history here with that.
Yeah,
and arbitration creates animosity and all that type of stuff. It does. I don't care what anyone says. The whole point is you're going in there and you're saying why that guy's not worth the money that he thinks he's worth. Regardless of that, like, to your point, Jack, like the fact that they're in this position, the fact that not wanting to go over the luxury tax or being so deathly scared of going over the luxury tax is one of the biggest reasons that they're in this position. I mean, it's an absolute embarrassment for John Middleton. He should be embarrassed. I hope that the fan base is all embarrassed for him and in him, because Mr. Big Boy Pants, Mr. Steinbrenner of the South.
Stupid, I mean, it's money.
Such a fraud, man. It is such a fraud.
Going back to the arbitration thing for a second, I got two things. One, I feel like I know the stat. I know no players every side. I just feel like this is a different circumstance. Like, I don't know. Like,
I agree. I'm not saying that stat is a way. I still, even with all this, think if I had to bet money, I would bet on him still being a Philly next season. Like, yeah. I do think that, but I do think that stat says something in the sense that I don't think that everyone understands just how ugly arbitration hearings are. And like that, like, and JT, I think the biggest part is that JT doesn't seem like the type of person who would take that way. Like, he seems like someone who is a solid guy who understands the process and was trying to do what he could for other catchers in the future and other players in the future. But like, the whole point of arbitration is the Phillies are going in there and saying, this guy isn't nearly as good as he's telling you he is. Like, and here's why. He doesn't do this. Look at his numbers. It's an ugly thing, is my point.
And the second thing I was going to do, and you kind of just teed me up for it, I feel like you missed a James Seltzer staple, which is, this is a human being. He's a human being. That's one of my staples. He's a human being.
It's my thing. I mean, it is.
I know.
You know
that. I know.
And it's true. And that in those situations, as much as any, like, again, if we had to go to arbitration because High Hopes Pod made money. If you're out there, sponsors, we're down. If you want us to make some money, because we're
sliding
cool.
Our DMs.
Hey, we're here, baby. We're here.
If you want to be, very available.
Very open and available. We are all in.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
But let's say in an imaginary world, obviously,
hopefully
where
not
we actually
someday.
Did make money off of this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, and we had to go, and there was some sort of issue where we had to decide who was worth more, and we had to go to court, and I had to fight you and go to a judge and say, I'm worth more than he is. And it's a little different because we're talking about one versus the other.
Well,
but
and you'd
but
obviously
you
want to
be like,
that.
Jack's not worth as much as I am because of this, Jack sucks at this, and Jack does this. Like, it's you would not be psyched with me.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's not like you'd look at me and be like, oh, I want to spend the next 7 years of my life with that guy, you know?
Yeah, why don't you tell me how you really feel? I feel like you have some things that you've been wanting to get off your chest. I mean, is there anything you need to air out right now?
No, I'm good, buddy.
I mean, obviously, I'd win that arbitration case. But hold on. How long into the arbitration case would you bring up breakout Pivetta? Like,
my God, would be my lead argument.
It would be like, did you see?
Like, look at this guy. We're talking about credibility, right? I mean, isn't this what this is about?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And you would have said he almost tanked the podcast. And then I would have said it was me.
People think we're a joke because of this. I mean, come on.
Yep. Like, yep. Yep. Although, I mean, then my counter would be, do you enjoy watching?
I brought Bryce Harper to Philadelphia. Well, shocking. I knew what you were going to say.
Me personally, myself.
I knew exactly where you're going. You didn't even need to tell me.
Yeah.
I would win the arbitration because I would know exactly where you're going with everything. I'd be ready to dodge and volley it.
Well, I would have a lawyer.
I would too. My brother's a lawyer. There
really?
You go.
I didn't know he was a lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Peter Seltzer, my guy.
What kind of lawyer is he?
I always screw this up. I always say he's a labor lawyer, but he's not. He's an employment lawyer. I always say
aren't
he's a labor lawyer,
thing?
And he's like, a labor lawyer is for unions. That's not what I do. I'm an employment lawyer. So there you go.
I only met Pete once. I don't see the lawyer in him. Like, he seems, he's a little guy. Like, you know. I don't,
Jason, what does that have to do with being a lawyer?
I just want to trust him in the courtroom, you know?
Okay. He's a pretty damn good lawyer.
I don't know if he command the courtroom like I need.
Let's put it this way, Jack. He's making a hell of a lot more money than you and I are.
I'll tell you that much. Well, did you just hear that pitch that we had to the potential advertisers?
I mean, who wouldn't want to advertise with us after that?
Especially when we already are making arbitration cases.
I know. We're already ready to go at each other's throats. Yeah. Come sponsor us.
Yep. Yep. Everything's fine on this podcast.
Oh, man, I don't even know what we got there. Oh, arbitration.
Yes.
It's ugly. That's my point.
Yes, and they're human beings.
That's good. All right, you got anything else? I'm growing tired of you, Jack.
Oh, what are you going to do, take me to arbitration?
I'm It might.
It's heading into the bottom.
If you are my daughter and arbitration is her bed, then yes, that's what I will be doing next.
Okay. Let's speak it into existence. The Rockies are up 4-3 still. Ooh. going to the bottom of the eighth.
Okay.
Bottom of the eighth. And just remember, no way Velasquez wins tomorrow night. There's no way the Phillies are beating.
That's some bad news, Jack.
What?
They're not winning anymore.
Oh, they tied it up.
4-4.
Oh, it's because Gabe knows how to win tight games.
Gabe's good, man. Pulling all the right moves. Brandon Belt, game-tying home run.
Brandon Belt all of a sudden is good.
How is Brandon Belt still a Giant and still just chugging along?
Was Brandon Belt on the 2010 team?
No, I think he was on the 20. He was definitely on the 2014 one. I don't think he was before then.
Yeah,
he was on one of those World Series.
I know he's definitely on 2014. But I feel like Belt. I feel like Brandon Belt's been there for a decade. Well, he probably has been there for a decade. But yeah. So that game's tied up. And here's the thing with Gabe. And I don't want to turn into a Gabe thing, but like the real difference is between Girardi, Gabe, and whatever is that. The Giants have a real general manager. I mean, Farhan is.
Yep.
There's going to be people that are like, oh, Gabe. Like, managers don't matter. Like, they just don't matter that much. Farhan is obviously already proven to be a wizard. Like, the main reason why Eric Neander is so important and blank check and all that is like, look at the Giants. Like, that roster sucks, man. Like, they are not a good. They are not a
nope,
good baseball team.
They're not.
But they got the most out of those guys because Farhan just knows what he's looking at, and he knows what he's looking for, and he knows how to get the – he knows how his coaching staff can get the most out of those guys. And the guy here is just awful at it. He is just awful at it. Look at – I mean, Farhan's a difference maker. Andrew Friedman's a difference maker. The whole Indians front office is a difference maker. The Rays, Yankees. Like, those are difference-making front offices, and I want that here. It is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is getting a real GM that knows what he's doing. And again, Eric Neander is the blank check guy. He's the only guy in baseball that you give a blank check to. You're the big market. Like he has the best record in baseball, or tied for the best record in baseball, with a payroll that's like $60 million.
It's the lowest payroll.
Every year. And every year they're good. So, and honestly, he might be better than Andrew Friedman. Like, the Rays were not the Rays.
I actually think he is better than Andrew Friedman. I agree with you. Now, the big question is, how good was Chaim with him? And we love Chaim. I think Neander, look what he's doing again this year and all that, and some of the moves he's made. But, you know, I think the bigger... I think he's better, personally.
Yeah. Well, and it's not Neander. Like, there's another guy right below him that's been there for a while. So, you know, maybe you take the next Chaim before he turns into what Chaim turned into. So, it's just so important. It's so important that McClintock is not the GM of this
team. It's everything. It's the most important thing.
Yeah. For like, Harper's great. You know, Girardi's great. JT, great. Like, get a real GM in here and let's go win some championships. Go give Eric Neander a blank check, and let's go really win some ball games. So
win for a sustained period of time.
Yes. Who do you trust more in a playoff game, Zach Eflin or Aaron Nola?
Still Nola, but I mean, who do I trust to start this particular upcoming playoff? I mean, Eflin's pitching better right now. Eflin looks awesome.
Eflin's great. Eflin is, and
it's legit.
And his stuff has taken an uptick. I mean, obviously everyone's talking about the curveball, but I haven't seen a two seamer dance like that from him. I mean, it was 95 and it was dancing. So, and
he's got 70 strikeouts in 56 innings and only 14 walks. Like that's high level stuff.
I'm shocked they were able to get that out of him. Like,
it's really impressive.
That's something a smart organization would do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Brian Price is smart.
Yeah,
Brian Price is smart.
Yeah, I wish that we were getting a little bit more from Brian Price, but it does seem like he's got another level of Zach Eflin. We've seen another level of Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler. So I guess and he has no talent in the bullpen. So I guess
dog poop in the bullpen.
Yeah. So I guess getting the most out of those three is a good sign that Brian Price knows what he's doing. I think if he spent more time with Spencer Howard before the injury, you would have seen Spencer pitching a lot better right now. Arrieta's a lost cause.
Totally agree with you.
And I mean, and look at Vinny. I mean, Vinny's had a couple good starts here in a row. So, you know, you never know. But there's no way Vince Velasquez wins tomorrow night against Charlie Morton. Just no way. No.
Speaking, it's just not happening.
Speaking of good coaching, our guy Jason Ochart is in the.
How about you mean national phenomenon superstar Jason Ochart? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And what podcast was the only podcast that was really excited about the Jason Ochart signing?
What other podcast had ever heard of Jason Ochart?
Yeah, that's a good point. But and I fundamentally believe that, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, wow, you know, Alec Bohm is just Alec Bohm. Like, he's just a number 3 overall pick. He was always going to be really good, all that stuff. Alec Bohm would not be this good without Jason Ochart. Like, he would not be this good without what Ochart and his staff is preaching down the minor leagues. And you're seeing these guys come up. You know, Moniak didn't look great, but, like, Moniak walked 4 times. And when his career minor league walk rate was, like, 5%. Like, he never walked, but you're seeing control of the strike zone. You're seeing these guys come up, and they seem like they know what they're doing. Like, just get that guy talent and let him go to work. So, for anyone that's talking about the player development of the Phillies and talking about Alec Bohm and, oh, well, that was a no-brainer, it wasn't. I mean, they got more out of Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm in his first year.
We all remember the infamous hands video, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never forget it.
Yeah, I got roasted for saying his hands weren't in a strong position.
I know.
But they legitimately weren't. Like, I was right. And they fixed that. He didn't have a professional home run in his first year in minor league baseball. That was pre-Ochart. And then they got the most out of him. So, yeah, I mean, Ochart is a home run hire. That sounded cliche, didn't it? I didn't mean to say that. That was a little too cliche for me.
Sure you didn't,
it
buddy.
Was a home run hire.
What a home run hire.
Yeah. Other things in my take.
Real quick, though, really quickly, can he teach Mickey Moniak to play defense, too? Is that...
Mickey will be fine. Mickey will be fine in the field. He's always been a good defender. I understand.
Just checking, Jack. It has to be mentioned.
It was a bad moment. We don't talk about it.
One of the worst throws. And obviously the miss the other night was bad, too.
Oh, but
that throw was one of the worst throws I've ever seen on a Major League Baseball
game. I don't care about the throw because I had seen enough bad throws on Sunday that the Mickey Moniak throw meant, like, I was just dead at that point. Like, it's whatever. I've seen I saw Carson overthrow Zach Ertz by 20 yards. So that throw meant nothing.
What else you got in the take, Ben?
What are the Nationals going forward? Like, I watched them that whole series. Like, they might stink for a couple of years here. Like legitimately, Scherzer, Corbin, Strasburg, fine. I mean, Corbin actually might suck. Like,
Corbin's had a bad year.
Yeah, I mean, he's down to like 88 miles an hour. I mean, they really just went all out for the World Series last year. I mean,
yeah, I think they felt the effects of it. I really do. I think they just kind of broke down, which makes sense.
But what's that?
Juan Soto not breaking down though.
I mean, he is so good.
It's
like,
unbelievable.
He is. Just on another. I didn't watch what Barry Bonds looked like as a kid, but I'm assuming this is what it was. I didn't watch Griffey. Like, I didn't watch any of those guys. Soto's the first one. Like, the season feels bigger than Trout. Like, Trout came up and was, like, good at everything, you know, but just seeing the pure power and just being terrified of every Juan Soto at bat, like, whew, dude's just different, man. I honestly love him. Like, I'm a Phillies fan. I love the Phillies. Like, I love Juan Soto. Like, it's annoying to go against, but he's just unbelievable. But, like, what are the Nationals? Like, they have Soto, Turner, Robles probably isn't that good. Like, they have a big payroll they got to shed. Like, we might be looking at a tough couple of years for those Nats. Like, if Carter Kieboom
from your lips to God's ears, Jack.
If Carter Kieboom doesn't turn into something, like,
he doesn't look like he's going to.
Yeah, that team might stink. I mean, Juan Soto's going to be Juan Soto, but that team might stink for a little bit. How much does Didi get this offseason? Like, I don't think we have even talked enough about Didi. Like,
he's been the most consistent player on the team. I mean, Bohm, since he's come up offensively, for sure. But, like, Didi's been the most consistent player on the team. He leads him in RBI this year. He's got double-digit home runs. He's got, like, an 850-ish OPS at shortstop while playing great defense at shortstop. Like, Didi has been all you could have hoped for and more.
I think it's more. I mean, he's had some weird defensive moments, but whatever.
He's batting like 289.
Yeah,
like, you don't expect that with Didi.
He's a 350 OBP. He's 10 homers. Like,
yeah,
man.
He's been great. Like, he has been absolutely great. I desperately want them to re-sign him.
I know. I do too, but I just don't know. Like, would he take a 2-year deal, a 3rd-year option?
I don't trust Fraud Middleton to get any of these guys signed in any situation. I'm just saying, I would love to have Didi here for an extended
period.
Yeah,
I know. But then, not the nice thing, but the, like, Andrelton Simmons is a free agent this offseason. Simeon, so they could do some things, but it's gonna hurt not seeing Didi here. Like, Didi is a pure joy, and I just. Yeah, I don't think we've talked enough about him just really good. Because usually Didi's like a streaky guy. He gets super hot, super cold, super hot, super cold. Just consistently good all year. Consistently good all year with defense and leadership and timely home runs and really tough guy to strike out. So
just a likable guy.
Yeah.
Like, he just comes off as a really likable guy. So, yeah, I literally could not agree with you more.
So, going to miss Didi. Well, they could re-sign him. But I wonder if he gets like a 4-year, $80 million deal. Is there any chance he gets 480, 20 million a year?
No. I mean, there's a chance. I think it's more likely it's like
460.
Four for 60,
yeah.
Four for 65, something like that, maybe.
I wish I could find a way to bring him back. Like three.
I do too. Yeah. Like I just said, I'm all in. Yeah. I love him.
Love him. That's all I have. So big weekend ahead. Like
weekend.
Are you nervous?
Right, so let's do this, Jack. Let's again, what we always say. The truism of this podcast, we will never lie to the High Hopes listeners. Do you think the Phillies make the playoffs?
No, I don't think the Phillies make the playoffs.
I don't either. I just don't. I don't know how you could trust them is the point. Like, to show up this weekend and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I hate the whole, like, the Rays have nothing to play for. Like, I'm nervous.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Again, the Nationals had nothing to play for. Like, how far do we have to go back to remember a series where the other team had nothing to play for and the Phillies lost 3 or 4, like, just this past one.
Yeah, I don't
know.
That, like,
hard.
Like, this just has a lot of, like, what, 05, 06-ish vibes? Where,
yeah,
it's like they won 88 games and it wasn't enough.
Yeah, so actually it feels more like last year, Jack.
Yeah, that, yeah, sprinkled in with 8 teams. And speaking of never lying to the High Hopes listeners, it is your 40th birthday tomorrow, correct?
It is not. Stop lying. It is my 39th birthday tomorrow.
What a birthday weekend. Watching the Phils try to make the playoffs. Does it get any better than that?
Look, Jack, it's been a long time. I was a youngin' the last time I watched a birthday weekend watching the Phils make the playoffs, a long time ago.
You were in your 30s.
I know. Still am, Jack. Still am.
You turn 40 tomorrow, pal. Proud of you.
Thanks, buddy. Means a lot. We'll have to have a High Hops together to celebrate.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
High Hops is, of course, brewed and ready to be drank for this weekend's games at Four Fingers Brewing Company in Aston Mills, PA. Go out and try to talk Phillies with my dad. You will be severely disappointed. He knows nothing about the Phillies. So
awesome. Definitely go get some High Hops. Rate and review the pod. We will be back Sunday. Whatever happens, right? I mean, you know, whatever happens.
Just don't make us sad. Just don't make us sad.
Don't make us sad. We'll be here Monday. There, you know, Sunday, Monday. Probably Sunday, I think, with this weekend. We'll see. Sunday or Monday. I guess I think if they make the playoffs, we will definitely be there Sunday night. If they miss the playoffs, it'll either be Sunday night or Monday. Is that fair?
And if they lose and don't make the playoffs, it'll be Sunday night with many a beer.
Yes. Okay. I like that. That'll be the plan. Either way, we will be talking to you guys in a few days, hopefully with good things to talk about. Go Phillies. He's Fritz himself, so we'll see you later.